Blog Talk Radio.
Arrive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, we're going to be discussing what you can do for God. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, God, humbly God. Father, we receive all of your mercy. We receive all of your grace for today, and we thank you for the grace and mercy that you have awaiting for us tomorrow, God. Father, we thank you for your call upon our life, God. Father, we thank you for the desire to come to you that came from you within us that is leading us to listen to your word right now, God. Father, we thank you for you putting us in a place of favor, God, and teaching us how to receive that favor, God, freely so that we can give it to others, God, freely. Father, teach us to love you better, God. Teach us to love ourselves better, and teach us to love others better so that we can truly represent you in the earth and we can reap the souls that you have asked us to reap for your kingdom. I thank you for this right now. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. We're going to listen to this song of praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
Every chain is broken.
just help me say that. It's moving and it's breaking. My brain is shifting the atmosphere. Every oath will be destroyed. I believe it. Every chain is broken. This worship is shifting the atmosphere. Help me say it. It's moving and it's breaking. Our praise is shifting the atmosphere. It's moving and it's breaking. This worship is shifting the atmosphere. Worship has power. Whenever things don't feel like you think they should, don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here. You'll be shifting the atmosphere. Cried myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hand. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. And they tell me, just take this medication, and that gives me another problem. And they say, take this, that, and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. For breakthrough and healing. Our worship is shifting. Shifting.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, we're going to be discussing what can we do for God. And that sounds like a crazy question. Comes down to it. We have to realize how important we are to God's plan. God says in his word that he has wrought all of our works within us before we're even born. God has worked all of our works within us. And we have to understand that his plan involves us coming into agreement with his word and doing what he has called us to do in order to fulfill his plan. And yet many people, especially Christians, would say, well, what is God's plan? Please, Brother Carver, share with me. What is God's plan? And what I would say to them is God's plan is found in Revelation. In the book of Revelation, where God says that he will dwell with mankind and mankind will dwell with him, and he will be their God and they will be. And we have to understand that if that is God's plan to dwell with mankind in perfect peace and mankind to dwell with him as our God and us as his people, then we have to be about the work of reconciling the world back to God. And when I think about all that God has done, I think of this verse and this passage of scripture in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 30 to 31, where it tells us what the first and great commandment is and what God is requiring us to do. It says to us in Mark chapter 12, verses 30 to 33, it says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second commandment is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." So what God is saying is that when you truly love God with all of your heart, and with all of your understanding, and with all your soul, and with all of your strength, and when you love yourself and you love your neighbor, that's more than any sacrifice or burnt offering that you could do for God to repent or atone for your sins. And God is asking this of you because when you love God, then you're going to come into agreement with his word and you are going to participate fully in God's plan of ensuring that he will dwell with mankind and mankind will dwell with him, and you're going to be about the business of that are lost. And many of those souls are right in your house. You don't have to go to a foreign country. You don't have to go to another state. You don't have to go to another city. Many of them are right in your house. And then some of them are right next door. And some of them are right across the street. Some of them are at your job. Some of them are at school. Some of them are at work. Some of them are at your country club. And when you go to these places, then you have to remember that it is your job to share the death, burial, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ, with others. And that's all that you need to share with them. And when you share your testimony of how God delivered you from being a slave to sin, when God delivered you from being a slave and freed you to live as a child of God, and to let them know that it's available for them to be free as well, that is going to be the best thing that ever happened to them. And it's going to be a great thing that's happening to you because God is going to be able to reward you here openly, and he's going to reward you in eternity as well for coming into agreement with him that his plan is good. And God, he says that he is faithful to reward those who are obedient, to reward those who are serving him, and pleasing him and trusting him and operating in absolute faith. When we talk about one of the things that we can do for God, one of the things that comes to mind for me is this idea of the scripture that says that when we give to the poor, we're lending to God, and that God is faithful to repay. And we know God's credit is absolutely good, right? And so when God says, when you give to the poor, you're lending to God, that is something that we know pleases God. So one of the things that shows our love is when we do give to the poor, because it shows that our heart is God's heart. We are giving to those who could never repay. We are giving in a way where we are not seen, because it tells us to do our good deeds secretly, right? And God says in Matthew chapter 6 that when we do our good deeds secretly, he rewards us openly, right? And that is a blessing to us, but it's also a blessing to those who receive the benefits of our obedience to God. Because, see, the world experiences God's goodness through us, through our obedience. So we have to learn how to be conduits of the blessings of God, so that when God opens a window of heaven that is pouring out to us blessings more than we can receive, that we are able to pour that overflow into the lives of others and allow that overflow to go to those who are the most in need. See, when we give to people who already have, then we are simply marketing. That's what we call that in business. When we give to someone who can give back to us, then we are marketing. But when we give to someone who could never repay us, when we give to someone in order to please God, who is in need, then we are lending to God, is what it says. And then it says that God is faithful to repay. And see, the benefit to walking in love toward God and walking in love toward ourselves and walking in love toward others is that level of love casts out fear. Because when you are loving God, then you're seeking to please God, you're seeking to serve God, you're seeking to trust God, you're seeking to obey God. And when you love yourself, then you're not trying to destroy yourself, you're not trying to harm yourself, you're not trying to hinder yourself, and that means you're not becoming a slave to sin again. That means that you are practicing how to be free. You're practicing how to no longer be a slave to sin. And see, it is a challenge for someone who used to be a slave to sin, as all of us were. We were all enemies of God before we were saved. And it's God's love for us while we were his enemies that demonstrates God's goodness and should cause us to reciprocate that love and return that love to God, understanding that we didn't deserve that. We didn't deserve God to send his only begotten son to die on a cross for us and to be beat before then so that his broken body could pay for our physical wholeness and his blood could pay for all of our sins. We didn't deserve that. But God loved us so much that he had to send his son to get the job done. And when his son got the job done, then he seated his son Jesus Christ at his right hand. He gave him all power in heaven and earth and under the earth. And then he sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the guide, to dwell within you and I. So that God is in us. Jesus Christ, his Son, is in us. The Holy Spirit is in us. And when we go out into the world, we're operating at a level of power that is real, that is being manifested. And it's being manifested because we are drawing those lost souls out of sin, out of bondage, out of death, out of sickness, out of disease, out of lack, into the kingdom of God. And we are not allowing them to perish in their own sin. We are not allowing them to continue to be slaves and to be less than. And we are certainly not subjecting ourselves to a condition that is similar to where we were before we met Christ, before we made Jesus Christ the master and Lord of our life. We are no longer slaves to sin. And it's the perfect love within us that casts out sin. So look at what it says here in John chapter 15, verses 12 to 14. It says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you," Jesus Christ says. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." And then he says in verse 17, he says, "These things I command you, that ye love one another." See, that's the commandment from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we love one another. And he says that we're to love each other as he loved us. And then he tells us that no man has a greater love than to give his life for his friends. And he's speaking of himself, because he was about to give his life for his friends. And then he says, "You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." And then he says, "What am I commanding you? These things I command you, that ye love one another." And see, that is how the world identified people who called themselves Christians in the early church. In Acts chapter 2, when we read about the early church, the world took notice that they ate together, that they fellowshipped together, that they worshiped together daily, that they had no lack, that they sold all that they owned, and they used the proceeds to go for the provision of all of those who served their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and counted themselves among the household of God. See, that is our job, is to win souls for the kingdom by sharing the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. And you know what the work of the devil is? To try to undo the plan of God. And that's why it's so important that we know what the plan of God is. The plan of God is that God will dwell with mankind, and mankind will dwell with God in perfect peace. So after Jesus Christ returns, there's going to come a day when the devil, the beast, the Antichrist, and all who follow him are going to be cast into the lake of fire. And that those of us who are counted among the children of God are going to dwell with God for eternity in the new heaven and the new earth. So anything you're looking at today is not going to be in existence. And you have to understand that. You have to know and believe that flesh and blood is not going to inherit the kingdom of God. It is your soul. Your soul is that valuable. Your soul is that precious. And that's why when you love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you love yourself because you understand how valuable you are to God, then you're going to be able to love others in such a way that they too will come to know your Lord and your Master Jesus Christ as their Lord and Master, and that will make them able to go before the throne of God and be counted as one of his children. See, this is absolutely essential that we get this so that we can participate with Christ in destroying the works of the devil. See, the devil is all about separating God from his children. The devil failed at overthrowing God. And as a result, a third of the angels who followed him and helped him in that pursuit were cast out of heaven, as he was. And that led to everything that is occurring now, because the devil's failure to come against God, coming against mankind whom God loved. And the devil decided that since he didn't have the power to come against God directly, then he would come against those whom God loves, and he would punish them, and he would cause them to be servants of sin by getting them to know him. So he deceived Eve to partaking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and caused her to become aware of him. And then Adam also sinned and partook of the fruit that was given to him by his wife. And he became aware of the knowledge of good and evil and became aware of the devil. And all of a sudden, the devil's plan of separating mankind from God started. It began at that point. And so we see how when Adam died and he lost his Holy Spirit, he was no longer able to communicate with God. He was dead. He was just flesh, and he was just body and soul, just like any other animal. He had breath life within him, and he had this body, but his spirit was gone. He was no longer able to commune with God as he was before he sinned. And it's the knowledge of good and evil that takes our attention away from God and his love for us. So that when we love God, we receive God's grace, because God's grace is his unmerited favor. It's all of the good things that we don't deserve that God gives us new each and every day. And it is also God's enabling power that allows us and empowers us to do the things that we cannot otherwise do without the power of the Holy Spirit within us. So that when we would otherwise be tempted to return to a life of slavery to sin, the power of the Holy Spirit within us gives us the ability to not only say no to sin, but say yes to God and yes to witnessing to someone else who would otherwise become a slave to sin, and showing them how we also got free. Then the other thing we need to learn how to do is to be humble enough to receive God's mercy, which is new to us each and every day and available to us because of the work that God's Son, Jesus Christ, accomplished at Calvary. And that mercy is the forgiveness. It's the payment for when we don't get it right, when we do fall short, when we do stumble, so that we can get back up and get back to work and not wallow in our sin and our self-pity, but we can learn to be free. See, when you're doing things, you're going to make some mistakes. It is those who do nothing who are never going to make a mistake. But their greatest mistake is not believing God, not studying God's word, not standing on God's promises, not fasting, not praying, not speaking in tongues, not reading their Bible, not fellowshipping with like-minded believers. See, your faith is something that is real, and it is actualized when you do what God has given us to do. And so we have to show the world how powerful God is by walking in the unlimited power of the Holy Spirit that God has given us. See, it says in the Bible that if the devil had known that we would have the power of the Holy Spirit within us as a result of him crucifying our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he never would have done it. That shows you how powerful you are. That shows you that God is in you, that Jesus Christ is in you, that the power of the Holy Spirit, unlimited, is in you. And now all you have to do is believe the promises of God and come for you and the whole world. Look what it says here in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. It says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." See, we have to understand that if we believe God's love toward us, right, then we have to know that God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. That is the test, so that when we're examining ourselves, we can say, hey, you know what? There's no question about whether I am in the kingdom of God, because I love God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and my actions and my thoughts and my behavior agree with that. And I love myself. So I do not abuse myself. I do not harm myself. I love myself. And I maintain a lifestyle that is free of bound by sin. I am no longer a slave to sin. I am more than a conqueror through Christ who loved me. I can do all things through Christ. And to know that we have not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so we have to live like that. We have to know that is our reality, because Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. But even more than that, he came so that we could live life more than abundantly. See, the works of the devil is to cause you to live less than a more than abundant life, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and financially. And God is about restoration. So I don't care what happened to you in the past. God is the God of now. God is the God of the future. God is not subject to the lies that your parents told you. God is not subject to the lies that your teachers told you. God is not subject to the lies that your friends spoke into your life. But God has a plan for you, and God said that plan is good. God said that he has wrought your works in you. God has worked your works in you, meaning that God has already determined the role that you're going to play in realizing his plan to reconcile the world back to him. Now it's for you to come into agreement with that and to begin building yourself up on your most holy faith by speaking in tongues and prophesying and building up your inner man and getting to the point where you love to talk to God more than God loves to talk to you, if that's possible, right? You begin to value the access that you have to the throne of God. See, you can never say I love you to somebody that you don't talk to. That's not real. That's fake, right? And God needs our relationship with him to be real. God needs our relationship with him to be actuated. It needs to be something that is set into motion. And when we are dwelling in love, God is dwelling in us. And we are dwelling in God. And then we are about the business of casting out fear. Fear in ourselves, but fear in others. See, we're going through a global pandemic. People are afraid right now. The world is at its wit's end, and we have to be the ones that restore order. We have to be the ones who restore hope. We have to be the ones who remind people that God is in control. Look at what it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 21. It says, "And this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." See, we manifest our love for God and how we love the brethren. And our brothers and sisters in Christ need us more than ever these days, because the devil is trying to say that God's promises are not true. The devil is trying to get people to believe that the broken body of Jesus Christ was not enough to pay for their physical wholeness, and that's a lie. And we need to learn how to call a lie, because the lie is what made it possible for Eve to be deceived and then Adam to sin and cause mankind to be distanced from God for a period of 4,000 years. We had to have spokesmen and prophets and burning bushes in order to communicate with God. And now we can go directly to the throne of God for the past 2,000 years because God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for you and I. On the third day, after 3 days in the stone tomb being dead, he raised his Son from the dead after 3 days and three nights and seated him at his own right hand, gave him all power in heaven and earth, and then sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Teacher, the God to dwell within you and I. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's gone forth tonight, God. I thank you for you just touching someone. Strengthen them, God, and bless them greatly. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from the Spirit Alive Network and your host, Lester Carver, be ye transformed.
If I can hear from you, then I'll know what to do. I won't go on. Now I'll go on my own. Just let your spirit guide and let your word abide.
Speak to my heart, Lord.
Oh, my.